All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Dylan Jamelli podcast. And I am really excited today. I have, we're going to go a little different route here as opposed to just straight fitness. I've got a really, really good guest today. This is my man, Sergio Traconis. Sergio, welcome, brother.
Thank you for having me, man.
So I appreciate your time because I know you're extremely busy. Now, Sergio does have some fitness background here we're going to talk about later, but he is a big time entrepreneur. He's got a huge following on social media. He is the COO of Kearns Marketing. So what I want to do is I want to talk to you just, I want to kind of, and I hate to use this pick your brain because that's like working for free to me, right? But being that we're on a podcast, that's kind of what we want to do here. So I want to start with your background, because not everybody can be an entrepreneur. It sounds great. It sounds flashy and it sounds like, oh, everybody can do this. And it is not something everybody can do or everybody would be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide, because you are a little bit younger too, and you're already quite successful. So what made you decide to go this route? What pushed you this route and what kind of just drives you daily in what you do?
That's a great question, because a lot of people think that entrepreneurship is glamorous, because all you see is the, spoke about this recently, 10% of what you see on social media is the glamorous part of it, but the 90% is the boring daily things that you need to do, right? I decided to become an entrepreneur because I luckily gained experience in the corporate world very early. I'm talking started working between 19, 20 years old. Because of a family friend that was a real estate developer. And I realized that was just not for me. I liked the time freedom. I liked the aspect of being able to work off my phone. So I started trading. That's how I started really my entrepreneurship career. Little did I know when I left that job, I had to now work 24/7 for, you know, either the same amount of money or even a little less as you grow as an entrepreneur. But I'd prefer to stick on that route any day than having to go back to an office or working for somebody else. I mean, it's just, that was my decision. And down the road, you start maturing more into other reasons as to why you want to be an entrepreneur. At first it was for me, and now it's for others. Like now I just want to provide value to either the younger crowd or people who are trying to build something on social media, because that's what's helped me make my dream life come true because of all the actions and activity that I decided to take at a very young age. So now it went from, you know, something selfish for myself to now trying to provide as much value for other people that watch me.
Right. So, okay. So, because I obviously do entrepreneurial too, and I learned, as you did, quite young that corporate world was not for me whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I had a very hard time with it. And back then I was probably not nearly as mature as you are at a younger age. And I was just kind of a prick about the way that I was with things. And I got myself into trouble, which forced me into having to be an entrepreneur. So I had to take a different route. Mm-hmm. But what I've found, and I want your input on this, because everybody's journey is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And there's pluses and minuses, right? So what I find are some positives is you're your own boss. I'm sure that goes without saying. And you can tend to take breaks when you want or do certain things around as you will. However, you end up working actually more hours and you are in more of a grind because you're not dependent upon a paycheck coming in every month. You have to create your own paycheck. So sure, you could take a break for an hour here, 2 hours there, wake up late, do this, but you're missing aspects of the day. I believe that it can be more stressful to be an entrepreneur as opposed to working for somebody else, but also less stressful because you're not, sometimes job security can be a stress, right? Where you're reporting to a boss and everything like that. So what do you find for you? Maybe are some hurdles or maybe some positives, and am I on the right track with how it is for you? I'm just curious because everybody's perspective is a little different.
100%. I think becoming an entrepreneur isn't for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. There's people who this isn't for them. You have to be a certain type of person who's okay with uncertainty at every moment of the day, because you don't know when your next paycheck is going to come in unless you've already built an organization big enough for you to be able to rely on something that's big. But in the beginning, it's uncertain and you have to be okay with that. And a lot of people aren't. So there's different ways that you can find your way into the entrepreneurship route, which is becoming an intrapreneur, for example. You know, in the company that you work with, if you don't want to take the route of extreme risk for unknown reward, because let's be frank, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. You can have that entrepreneurial spirit within the company that you work with. In my opinion, it's just making the best out of what you have.
Right.
And if you know yourself, you have to be truly embodied with who you are and know, if I take this route, I'm going to be unhappy because I like certainty, or maybe I have a lot of responsibilities, right? If you have a lot of kids, most likely it's not going to be the best route for you to take all that risk at the very beginning, right? You gotta start building up to it. So that's my first piece of advice, is knowing who you are. And the age that you do it at as well, right? A lot of young people maybe watch this or whatever, but the younger you are, the more risk you could take. The older you are, the less risk you could take. But just listen to yourself. If you know that's the route you want to take, then go for it. Because honestly, life is short, time flies, and you, like you said perfectly, you mature into who you really have to be as long as you never quit.
Right. Mm-hmm. And one of the things about being an entrepreneur for me, and I'm sure probably for you, it mm-hmm. tends to be a 7 day a week thing. Holidays, vacation.
I missed that. You said that.
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, look, you wake up, you work for a paycheck. Good. You work 40 hours a week. You mm-hmm. want to work for yourself, expect to work double that.
Yeah.
And the beauty about it is, and also something that people talk about, is you got to find your passion first. But I think that's wrong. I think you have to find something that can make you money in the beginning. If your route is wanting that time freedom or whatever entrepreneurship means to you, if you're very creative, you got to find something that makes you money, because without money, it's not going to fund whatever your passion project is. And if you were lucky enough to find something that makes you money and you're passionate about it, well, good for you. But it's usually not that way. So a lot of people get stuck in the point of that indecision, because they say, I haven't found my passion yet. And if I did, it's not making me enough money. Usually your passion won't make you a lot of money, mm-hmm. right? Usually passions have to be funded by something else before they make you money. Again, there's lucky ones that get money in the beginning. But yeah, you got to be okay with working 80 hours a week, whatever, however many hours a week that you have to work to make it happen, because that pressure is also healthy for you, right? You have to find ways of using that pressure to your advantage, because what you put in is what you get out. And in the beginning of entrepreneurship, there might be a lot of moments where you're not getting a lot out, but you have to continue to trust the process and doing things and learning from your failures and learning from the challenges in order to get to the point where you want to get. I didn't answer that part. Sorry.
That's okay. I always give these 2 and 3 part questions. So, you know, and one of the things that I think is important that I wonder what you feel about this. If you work at a big corporate place, the sustainability in terms of like feedback and reviews, you know, they get, let's say, Walmart or something, or Target or one of these places, these huge corporations you're working for, they'll have thousands and thousands of reviews, and it might say 4.5. But within those thousands and thousands, there's hundreds and negative remarks, right? But if you're an entrepreneur and you're in a smaller business and company, and let's say you're having a bad day and you just are short with an email or respond to somebody bad, or you make an error or a mistake, 1 to 2 negative reviews can bury you. So I guess my point is you have to be on your A game, and your A game is not just not making general tactical errors, but it's making like human emotional errors too, right? And the way you deal with people. So is that something that you find to be a hurdle, or that you notice more with your company and your business?
So you do have to be emotionally intelligent. Okay. That aspect, thankfully I've always been patient. So how I respond to situations and reply to negativity has always been a good one, right? Mm-hmm. I'm very good at that. But I've also meditated a lot throughout my career as an entrepreneur, because there are situations that tend to be out of your control, but a way to describe yourself as a good entrepreneur is holding yourself accountable to even the things that aren't in your control.
Yep.
You know, so you have to be able to be emotionally intelligent to deal with those things. And it goes beyond of what your current knowledge is, because you cannot know how to reply or how something is going to feel until you actually experience it. Yes, you could learn through osmosis to a certain point, but that experience is that emotional intelligence that's going to build up with time. So thankfully, I've been lucky enough to be to just be who I am, how I am when I respond to negativity. And the bigger you get, especially on social media, it's inevitable to get hate. I mean, if you want to not be hated, you have to be a $100 bill. And even then, there's people who I know don't like money. So you will always have hate no matter how who you are. If you're an ice cream man, there's somebody who does not like ice cream. It's inevitable. You have to be okay with it. You have to roll with the punches. Always be professional in your responses, because how you do one thing is how you do everything. If you're going around saying fuck you to everybody that hates on you, it's just going to reflect back on you. So that's right. that's how I see it. And for somebody who has a short fuse, go meditate. It was huge for me. You start really learning about yourself. You really go deeper into who you are, and take an emotional intelligence course or something like that. That's huge in entrepreneurship. Yeah.
I agree. And that's one of the things I used to struggle with, would be because, you know, for me, it's obviously on YouTube, and I for a long while, and this is partially my fault, I brought it on myself, but a lot of negative comments that I would respond to and say mm-hmm. things back to. And my wife would be like, why are you like engaging in this and doing this? And you have to, for me, especially, and if you're going to do anything on social media, I believe you have to have very thick skin, where it's like, one ear out the other. It should never have any sort of impact on your day whatsoever. And like you said, you have to be able to shake things off. I use prayer. You use meditation, something that can help you. Once I started to figure that out and do that, I have gone from, you know, a decent amount of hate to very little, you know, and you're still going to get it. Like you said, people hate greatness. People hate people that try to do things or take a step out of the box because people either get jealous or wish they could do that, or who knows what it is. They just hate to hate. Mm-hmm. And you have to be above that and kind of just ignore it and move past it and stick with what you do. So I agree 100% with you, and I love your mindset. How old were you when you first decided, okay, this is not for me, I'm going to do this, and you just said, I'm done. Let's go.
So the decision started a lot younger. I used to want to be a doctor. Okay. I wanted to become an orthopedic surgeon, and slowly through the process of understanding how the life is as a doctor, I started saying, if I don't want to be a doctor, then what else do I want to be? Because that's all I've wanted to be my whole life.
Right.
And when I decided that was when I used to work at a hospital here in South Florida, and I worked in the emergency room. And I would speak to the other doctors and ask them, how's your family? How are your kids? Like, who are you? Right? Let's get to know each other. I was volunteering. I worked there for 3 months. And I realized that a lot of them barely had good relationships with their family. You know, they didn't have a life because it's a very rigorous job. But they were all passionate about what they do. Becoming that type of, you know, profession, you have to be passionate. That's one thing that I have to give to them. But it wasn't for me. So when I figured that out, I started transitioning over to business. And I said, you know what? Not only do I like, you know, the feeling of making a lot of money, but I got to get there faster. If you want to be a good doctor and make a lot of money, you need 20, 30 years to really have a bigger profession in that. So when I worked at this job, I was 19, 20 years old. And officially that was where I said, okay, I need to figure things out. And slowly throughout the transition, ever since I quit the medical career, I started figuring different ways on how I could make money. I got into cryptocurrency, like every young entrepreneur on this planet does. I started getting into Forex trading, stock trading, futures trading. And I started getting better and better progressively. And down the road, when I worked at this corporate job that I told you about, I got better while I was working at the corporate job.
Right.
And that's when I made the decision. I said, I don't like this. I want time freedom. I want to work for myself. I have a lot of creativity. I like to build things, and I can't do that working here. So let me get really good at this craft. I focus on one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, that's key. You can't be focusing on five different things at a time.
Yeah.
Got really good at that one thing. And in the trading world, you have to get really good at one type of particular position or particular Forex pair.
Mm-hmm.
in order for you to trade well in the beginning. And that's what I did. And when I did that, I started making more money trading. I left the job and, you know, now we're here. So from the point of, you know, I was probably 15, 16 years old, volunteering at the hospital, I was like, man, this is not for me.
Totally understand. When you say trading and you're talking about Forex, just for people that don't know, because I think everybody assumes trading just means stocks or whatnot. What is Forex and what exactly is the trading involved there?
So Forex is probably the most popular way that people get into trading, which is foreign exchange, euro, dollar, Japanese yen. You grab the dollar versus the euro. There's discrepancies in each prices. You buy and sell at different times for a profit. That's it. So that's what I did, actually. I traded the euro dollar pair, got really good at that because it's less volatile than other pairs. Mm-hmm. But then I expanded into cryptocurrencies and stocks. You know, like I said, I'm very creative. I like to figure other things out. But yeah, that's what that is.
Not to go off topic, I'm just curious because I spend a lot of time studying the economy. My main thing is finance and economics and things. So mm-hmm. just curious what you've noticed in terms of the trend of the price of the dollar and how it's moved. Because I have this concern about it dropping and losing value and losing value and losing value. And I won't get into why, but what have you noticed or observed?
So, I mean, obviously there's a lot of things going on, like the BRICS, for example, that slowly right. but surely companies that use the dollar as a global reserve are leaving it. Mm-hmm. That's an issue, but you still see that the dollar is superior from other currencies. So in a sense, it falling to a complete collapse, again, I'm not a guru in this. I can't tell the future, but I don't think that would happen anytime soon. The dollar still holds a pretty strong stance. Obviously, you know, it's gone down a lot, but I think it still holds strong. But you should be diversifying. I mean, you should be buying gold. You should be doing other things that hedge your risk against holding dollars, right? There's the banking risk as well, but that's up to you as a personal investment decision to make.
I'll talk to you about that sometime off camera.
We'll get absolutely.
Okay, so let's shift gears here. I want, because, you know, there's different means, especially now as opposed to even 5-6 years ago, on how to start being an entrepreneur and what routes you have to go, because obviously social media has gotten so much bigger and the dependence upon it for, you know, mm-hmm. marketing. And it was not this way even it still was a popular thing 6-7 years ago, but it's really drastically changed where you can just get on there and make a living now, you mm-hmm. know, and it's so much easier. So what do you tend to lean towards, or what is your specialty with your branding, your social media marketing? What are things to look at, and what is your kind of aspect on all of that?
So I see it as right now people crave authenticity. Okay. Mm-hmm. Every single year, there's more and more saturation in every industry that happens to turn up on social media, and people lose trust because they don't know who to look up to anymore. Right. And that's an issue. That's an issue of authenticity, because throughout the last decade, a lot of people get on social media, they make themselves out as gurus, they talk about successes they don't actually have, and they sell courses when they haven't actually succeeded at the things that they sell on. So the point of authenticity is what I want to help my clients get better at. And that goes through intentional content. I use a 3-bucket system to be able to break it down for them. You need to be systemized with how you do it. If not, your ideas are going to be all over the place. But that's the main thing, is how can you bring an authentic message, being you, not building a persona or some type of individual that's completely not you on social media. But don't get me wrong, on social media, you have to portray yourself on how you want, and you can control that narrative, but that narrative should always be authentic. And people want to do business with people. People want to buy from people. The best way to be authentic is showing everything: your challenges, your wins, your losses, how you're working on the back end. Show your team, show your client testimonials. There's so much that you could start showing now that people can see, and you could unveil for them, and it'll make them feel a lot more connected to you as a business owner, entrepreneur, personal brand, whatever. But yeah.
I agree. I think, and I feel this way, and I'm curious as to how you feel. Authenticity is everything. You can be the best salesman in the world, but people can generally see through when you're not authentic. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I am huge on is accountability. I feel like anymore in society, everybody has a built-in excuse for something. Mm-hmm. And people see through that. It may go like mainstream in terms of media promotion or political promotion, but every single day, people that spend money, that read, that know anything about anything, that is all propaganda, and that only really applies to a certain small percentage of people. And right. I still think that there's a lot of people with a lot of real values out there and a lot of real, you know, genuine beliefs in how they look at things. So what do you feel about accountability, lack of thereof, and how important that is to being successful overall?
I think there's a problem with people being so short-sighted with what success is, because there's the reason why there's so many individuals that are not accountable is because they're only looking at the short-term success. Mm-hmm. They're only looking at, in this hustle culture, they're only looking at their next sale. What's going to give you longevity and what's going to make you last for a long time and not get washed out because people don't believe in you anymore is taking that same hustle mentality, that the same, you know, intensity that you bring on the phone call, on the point of sale, and pushing it through the entire client's journey and giving that value, right? If you say you're going to do something, you do it. It's that simple. There's a lot of people on social media who are not doing that. They're just saying, making it look very nice and glamorous on the point of sale, and they're not following through with that. So that accountability within itself is a huge problem. But at the end of the day, they get washed out naturally, right? Because people stop trusting them. People see through them on a sales call. You know, they buy into their product for 1 month, and after a month, they realize it's not what they said it was. People realize it, and people talk. So my biggest thing now is making sure I can communicate with our clients and letting them know how they can build a system around that intensity that they want to deliver value in order for their client to always be satisfied. That's going to add longevity for them. So it's also incorporating that into the marketing strategy, is helping them build those systems for their clients.
What do you believe and feel are the keys to retainability? Because I have a struggle with people that don't. So for me, when I'm teaching people about like supplement use, their diet, steroid use, things like that, my big concern is longevity, but that applies to pretty much everything in life, right? So if you want to be successful with business, you have to look at retainability, longevity with your health, you know, your diet, long-term, how you take care of your body. It's all long-term. Long-term thinking is something that people don't like, mm-hmm. because everybody wants it right now.
Exactly. Right?
And one of the things that I've learned as I've gotten older is just how important long-term customers are. So like, for instance, I used to complain about DirecTV. Mm-hmm. Well, they'll always give out these, oh, when you start up, we're going to give you this, this, and this. And then after a year or two, and you stay with them for years, they treat you like shit. Mm-hmm. They'll never give you a deal. They're not catering to the people that they really should be catering to. They just want new customers. They flush in and out, but that's not successful. And as you can see, they've cratered out after time, right? Because people will step in and come up with better methods. So what are some of your keys to retainability that you believe are very important and that you implement?
So with DirecTV, that's just lack of leadership, because it all starts at the top. It's top down. Whatever the leaders are being able to communicate with all the team that's below them is how they're going to then speak to their clients. But the main keys for me, it starts at creating a system, okay? Because it all starts from you. You start as the entrepreneur that's building something. You need to build a system in order to automate communication. Systems and communications to automate the client's journey and making sure that they're always being communicated with. That's huge. Communication is huge. Number two is people, hiring the right people and being a leader and making sure that your mission, your values, your core values, everything that you can communicate with them that are good for the company are communicated well. And then accountability. How can you hold them accountable to everything that you communicated with them? This can either be done through scorecards, could be done through CRM task management. There's a whole ton of things that you could do with that. But for me, those are the main three ones. And there's a fourth one, which is always optimizing your offers. Okay. You will die out if you never want to optimize what you're offering. It's either a product or a service. You always have to have a cutting edge because things change. Okay. Things down the road change. You need to make sure that you look into the issues that are coming up that people are having, and you have to find a solution to, you have to find the solution for them to add it onto whatever you're offering. So those four I see are huge for any, you know, successful company, at least for things that I have read and we have done in our past as well. We've ran this marketing agency for almost a decade now. And those are the things that always come up, right? Why is this client not being taken care of? Is it the system? No. Is it the employee that's handling them? Yeah. Why? Because we didn't teach them right. And then you learn, and then you do it differently the next time. So you learn through experience and also what you can read through other entrepreneurs that have made a successful business.
I agree. And see, adaptability is so huge. Yep. And I'll relate that once again with what I do. It's like, okay, so I'm teaching you X compound does this, 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 and this, but then new studies come out, right? Correct. And so you have to not only stay on top of that, and be constantly looking and studying. So for you, studying trends, marketing trends, things that are changing, but you also have to be able to quickly pivot and say, hey, this is how it used to be, and this is how it is, and this is why. And you have to have the information, you have to convey the knowledge properly, and you have to do it swiftly. Yep. Before somebody else comes in and say, oh, you know, so-and-so said this and they're doing this wrong, da 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 da. So you have to stay on top of things. And I don't think people realize that as an entrepreneur, especially how important it is for you to be on top of your game and never rest on your laurels, you know, and be complacent. So exactly. Complacency, I feel, is one of the biggest stepping stones or things to overcome. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? And how do you address that with your employees, and also hold yourself accountable to not be complacent?
Yeah, the normal human emotion is feeling good within what's already working. You don't want to change something that's not broken. You don't want to fix something that's not broken. Mm-hmm. So it's eliminating the short-sightedness that humans usually have, which is, oh, this works, this is going to work forever. That's the main emotion that people usually have. It's getting rid of that and understanding that it's not going to last forever. It's being more objective.
Right.
Understanding that things change. Look at the past. Look at history. How many companies have had to adapt and change their products because their customers got bored, or there's another one that they're competing with, or there's an opportunity in the market that they needed to take, right? You want to look at your competitor and say, what are they not doing? What is their liability? If their liability is something that they're not doing, you have to fill in the gap. That's money right there for your, that's an additional source of revenue. If you're willing to do it, well then, you know, congratulations, you're not competing. Okay. So it's a mix of many things, and you need to understand that it doesn't come natural to many people. Wanting change, understanding change, and feeling good in change. You just have to be objective, knowing and giving yourself that accountable approach on, you know, every X amount of time, every 6 months, we need to reevaluate what we're offering, look at market trends, and see if this is still relevant or if it's still going to last for the next 6 months.
Right.
Okay. And for me, I'm always looking at things on social media, so I constantly know what's changing, maybe on a weekly basis, because I'm always on social media. I'm working on there. I'm working with clients. I'm actively in there. So I'll be able to say, okay, this is actually changing. Let's go change it on our offers because our clients are going to get a better result. And I do the same for myself. Everything I preach, I practice. It's the best way to show up on social media. You have to embody your philosophy, not just preach it. So that's how I see it. You have to be objective.
See, one of the things that I've noticed, I don't ever like to group older people do this better, younger people do this better. But one of the things that I notice is younger generations have a much easier time with change than as you get older. You kind of get locked in your ways. See, I'm at an age where it's like I'm right in between, right? But I've always been one that I take successful people, but I find what they've done wrong and improve on it, right? And so one of the things that I've always done well with speaking to younger people is talking to them just like one of the homies, you know what I mean? Because I'm still there, and you have to be able to relate around different kind of people. If you're around older, more reserved people, you have to be able to relate. And that's part of sales.
Exactly.
You got to read the room like this. You got, like, I always tell people in the first 10 seconds, if you're doing sales, if you haven't read the room, you're toast. You're just not you're not going to do it. You might get lucky. You might have somebody that just comes in and wants to spend money. But correct. The real successful people that hit like 80%, 90%, you're always going to have people that just aren't going to buy anything, right? But you have to read and adapt very quickly. So how do you feel about that, about reading people quickly, adapting to them quickly, and knowing, because not all money is good money, right?
Yeah, there are clients you don't want to work with.
No, they're going to end up costing you more than it's worth. And I've said that several times. So how do you gauge that? How do you teach your employees that? How do you kind of overcome those fundamentally challenging aspects that there are?
I just think nowadays there's a lot of sales courses, right, where they teach you tactics on how to sell. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. I think buying into a course to learn the fundamentals of sales is fantastic. But what's missing is the authenticity, going back to that.
Yep.
The authenticity and the emotional intelligence comes natural to those who study it and who test it out through calls. You just have to keep doing more and more and more calls, and you start getting used to the conversations. And the authentic part is where I take a lot of space for my calls, for example, because when I'm speaking to someone, they're not just a client. They're someone who needs help. They're a friend. They're somebody who needs me in something. And people need to hear what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And that's the issue. You want to tell people what they want to hear, and that's just going to bite you in the ass, because you know for damn sure that you're not going to be able to deliver on that. And if you do deliver on it, they're still not going to be happy because they're not the right client. You have to be real with people. You know, I've spoken to clients, brother, you got to create 30 videos a month. That's what you're paying for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like getting in front of the camera. This is not going to work.
Right.
It won't work. You know, unless you change your mindset and you're authentic with that person because you genuinely care, and you not only care about your reputation, but care about them spending money and wasting it because they don't take action. That's the sale. That's the sale I want, because then the relationship with the client is going to be a heck of a lot better and easier to manage if things get difficult. Because yes, you might be working with the right client, but things can still get difficult. But the reason or the way that you handle the sale makes it a lot easier to handle those challenges down the road as well.
I'm smiling because my biggest motto that I have said that I always live by, and you'll see it on an intro I have coming out, is I will never tell you what you want to hear. I'm only going to tell you what you need to hear.
Yeah.
And that is the only way to be successful and to overcome any obstacles whatsoever. I'll tell my wife, if I'm talking too much, fucking tell me. If I don't look good, fucking tell me. I'm going to be more upset with you for letting me ramble on and be annoying or look like shit than I would ever be for you just being honest with me. And I tell people that all the time, just say it, because it's only going to help me. Mm-hmm. And I think that constructive criticism has been completely lost, and it's been misconstrued now as hate. Or, there's a rationale there for somebody, when it really, it's just you're being inadequate at what you're doing. And I'm just trying to help you to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that it is very important to have that as a characteristic within yourself, like you just said, the ability to tell people. But if you can dish it out, you've also got to be able to take it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not just about what you say. It's about how you say it, finding good ways on saying it, because there are people who are sensitive, and I get that. They might still be a good client, but you have to say it in the way where you recognize and acknowledge their weaknesses, and you build on top of that. Mm-hmm. You don't completely disregard it, because that's where things go wrong. You say, I understand what you're saying, and this is how you're going to be able to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not, but you're not trying to disregard what they're saying. That's also something that I've realized too, is it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Right. That's a good point. It's very true. I'm not the best at that, because I feel like I'm super sensitive, like with my wife, my mom, like, you know, people, like to feelings. Right. But when you are just getting upset over somebody just telling you something's wrong, I probably need to work on that, because I just like shut down then, because I just don't get it. It just doesn't resonate with me. And that's an area that I understand that. But once again, sometimes that oversensitivity is going to do nothing but set you back, and you're not going to get anywhere. You're just not. You're going to be stuck as average or less if you can't get over basic fundamental applications, you know, in life. You just can't. Yeah. So,
and it leads into business too. If you cannot take, and look, I'll be transparent. I used to not take constructive criticism either. You know, right. I used to think I knew it all. But until I started opening myself up to constructive criticism from people who I'm closest with, like my girlfriend, my business partner, my best friends, things really started to move faster, because if somebody's seeing from something from the outside, it's impossible for you to see it from the inside. You have to see it from their perspective.
Right.
And if you're not accepting it, you're never going to get better. So you're essentially getting negative 1% better every day.
Right. You
know? So until I accepted that fact, things got better, and it bleeds to business, right? And that's going back to the adaptive mentality. In business, you don't want to be told what to do, because if it's been working for you for a decade, you're not going to listen to somebody tell you that it's not working or it's not going to work down the road, even though there's data to back it up, because you have your proof that the last decade it's been working, but the data says otherwise for the next decade, and you don't want to change because of it. So it's a great way to avoid unpleasant situations, is taking constructive criticism.
Yep, 100%. Okay, so I want to touch on a few things with you. First, I want to get into what your business actually is, why mm-hmm. you do it, what it's all about, and what are the benefits from it. And then I also, after that, I want to kind of get into how you balance life, business, working out, like everything with all of these other things going on. But I want to get into your business first, because I've followed you now for a while, and that's how we kind of got connected. And you have this 1% mindset that you mm-hmm. speak about, and your company, et cetera. So talk to me about your business, the mindset, what you offer, what you do, and kind of why you got into that.
So in my business, I don't know why, but I'm just very passionate about what I do. It's just, I just kind of grew into it. And mm-hmm. It has a lot to do with the results that I'm able to bring for clients. That's what makes me passionate, because it's working, right? And it's seeing how much of a difference it can make into the client's life and business just by adding the steps that we're helping them add, and helping, you know, them throughout the whole plan or whatever it is that we're working with them on. But we offer them these branding and marketing services to expand and amplify all the success that they're already having off of social media and adding it onto social media. And throughout the process with us, I get real passionate with it, because it's incredible the things that we have been able to do for clients that did not see the vision for themselves, right? We saw it, because you see the potential in people, but they don't see it for themselves. So it's a breakdown of their own ego throughout the process of working with us in order for them to do the things that we ask them to do the right way. Okay.
Right.
And my mindset on the 1% better quote that I like to talk about all the time is, it's different for everyone, but for me is, how can I get 1% better in every aspect of my life? It's not just one aspect. It's, what can I do extra today that I did not do yesterday? Same thing in the gym, right? You do one rep today, one more than you did yesterday, you're gonna grow. Your muscle's gonna grow. That's why we take creatine, because you could do that one rep. You know, you could do one more rep, and that's what stimulates growth. Same thing happens in everything else in life. That one more rep, that one more phone call, the sales call, that one more video to record, one more conversation, that stimulates growth. So that's what that means for me. And the passion comes with just seeing the results for my clients.
I love it. I love that mindset. And that's what's obviously breeded success.
Mm-hmm.
So what all do you guys offer? What all do you do with the business?
So we offer, like I said, it's building people's social media brands, amplifying their success, growing their social media following, their engagement, their content creation. We help them create professional content. We help them connect, have targeted connections through social media DMs. I mean, we help them get on press releases. There's many things that we do. We package it all into one solution, or multiple different solutions packaged together. And then if they need tailoring, we tailor it for them. But the main objective is to make them look better on social media, is to capture attention, retain the attention, then monetize the attention. And that's a step-by-step process. It's a long-term process. Building a brand does not take a month. You know, it takes 3 months, 6 months, sometimes even years to create a consistent brand that brings in revenue just from the social media presence alone. So that's what we focus on. We create attention, retain it, and monetize it.
So your basically aim is like pure organic growth. It's not any, you got so many people selling robots and fake followers and things. Yours is strictly organic growth and like dedication to implementing that. And do you do it on every platform like YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere like that? Is that what you do? Or is it just strictly focused on like Instagram?
Strictly focused on Instagram. That's our niche. We do help clients create content for other platforms, right? If you need long-term video, long-form videos for YouTube, we could do that. Short-form videos for TikTok and, you know, YouTube Shorts. Yes, of course, we could do that. But the main niche is Instagram. You know, we leverage influencers to help our clients grow. We show them the accounts of these influencers as we leverage them. I mean, everything we do is transparent with them. So the main focus is content. We want to make sure that everything we're doing, right, that vertical for them that we're helping them expand is backed up by the content that they're creating. And between that, there's a bridge, which is the bridge of breaking down everything they thought they knew about social media, reconstructing a new paradigm to it, and then putting it together, and they both help each other continue to rise. So it's a process. It's definitely a process. It's a lot of mindset. I've realized that. I feel like a coach sometimes.
That's essentially what it is, because when you break it down, there's so many different aspects of it. People think you just get on there, you make a post and it just gets popular. And that's just not how it goes. You have to have creativity. And there's a lot that goes into each one. Right. Add music, add this, add that. There's functionalities there. I think people don't understand. And then it kind of becomes routine. But you still want to mix it up, because a lot of times, even I'll notice, I'll go, oh shit, I've kind of gotten monotonous in what I've been doing there. Maybe I should switch it a little bit. And it's easy to do, right? So as a coach there, you probably have to stay on top of people on things like that.
And oh yeah. I if I see a post that I don't like for the client, I'll tell them, reconsider that, get that off. Or hey, maybe the next time you should do this instead of this. So it's a learning process. And again, going back to being able to work with people who are open to the constructive criticism is very important, because somebody who starts working with us who isn't open to it, the progress is going to be very slow to change your minds on things and things like that. But yeah, it's, the coaching aspect is inevitable. You cannot be a good marketer. It cannot be a handoff service where you pay and you don't speak to anybody and you just expect growth and things to happen. We can do that. But our cutting edge is being able to stick with our client, hold their hands, and make sure that it's actually going to work. You know, we're not just a company that provides you content, growth, and press release articles. No, we're a company that's going to build a brand that's going to be long lasting for you so that you can continue monetizing through social media.
Right. Okay, sweet. So let's say like I'm your client. Are you monitoring every post I do? Am I sending them to you before I post them? Like, how are you staying on top of everybody that you are coaching or as a client?
Oh, yeah, I monitor. I monitor everything. I mean, we have our list. We have our checklist. We have our ways of doing things.
Right.
But we check every single client. And some of them like to show me things before posting. Some of them like to show me a caption before posting. But the majority of them just do their thing, and I'm just behind the scenes, you know, giving them tips and tricks that they could do on the next post to get better. Kind of like an accountability thing. But yeah, we stay on top of every single client. Again, it goes back to like, what are other companies not doing? Do that. And that's how you go above and beyond. So
last question about your company. If I'm a client to you, what, and I've looked at your stuff. You have different tiers and levels of what one would get, but let's just generalize. What can I expect if I come and sign up with you? What's my expectation supposed to be as a client from you?
So I like to tell every single, depending on what you choose, right? Everything could be tailored. Everything could be, it's malleable to what you're looking for. It's not a set in stone plan on the one that you choose. But my biggest expectation that I like to give clients is give it time. Okay. Mm-hmm. There are testimonials that I can give you that within a few months, we have had clients generate $200,000 in revenue off of just social media, but that's not the case. If I go out guaranteeing results just because of past results, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble, because that's just that's not the truth. Right. Any marketer that tells you, I guarantee this is going to happen, or I guarantee revenue will come from this, is lying to you. That's the first thing. letting them know that our strategies have worked and have continued to work because we changed them towards what's currently working, and letting them know that past results do not guarantee future success, but we will be here holding your hand to ensure the best outcome comes out of this. Okay. But that's the first expectation. After that, the next thing you can expect is just feeling really good about who you are on social media. Start using your profile as your digital business card. Right. When you go to meetings, no longer will you have to take out a cardboard card to show people. You know, if you want to know everything about me, look me up on social media. I have everything there. That's all you need to know. That's it. A very easy done for you process, done with you process as well, for clients.
Nice. Okay, mm-hmm. Sweet. So this is another entrepreneurial question, but it's about life. So how do you balance, especially being a little bit younger? I'm sure there's things that you are obviously far more mature than many your age, but I'm still sure we've all been that age and there's things you want to do, right? And there's sacrifices that you have to make to do what you're doing. How do you balance that so that mentally you don't ever burn yourself out or break down? How do you balance your life with having to work constantly and continuously? And, you know, also you said you had a girlfriend, and my wife is extremely, like, she's a gem when it comes to me always having to have my phone and look at it, or when we're doing something, rarely will she say anything. You know, Sometimes on vacations, if we're on our anniversary or something, I'll put it away, you know, or holidays for like when we're opening Christmas presents, I'll turn it away. But for the most part, how do you handle that? And what are some of the things that are difficult more so than others for you to overcome?
So I like the point you mentioned with the relationship, because it takes being with the right person, right? Yeah. Being an entrepreneur and having a significant other, the wrong significant other, hinders a lot of your process, right? It's very difficult to date an entrepreneur. It's very, very difficult if that entrepreneur is a high performer. Mm-hmm. So the way that I do it with my girlfriend is we're always on the same page, right? I incorporate her into everything that I do, and she does the same with me. Mm-hmm. She does her own thing, I'm incorporated. I do my own thing, she's incorporated. Because we understand that we have goals and we have similar goals. And in order to get to them, we have to do certain things and sacrifice certain moments and situations in order to get to them. And we're both okay with that. If we're on a cruise or if we're on a flight to Europe and she needs to be on a 1-hour call, you sure as hell know that we're going to stop our trip just so that she could do it. Same goes to me, because we know that we made it to Europe middle of the week because of this. It's understanding that everything is because of this. There's sacrifices that need to be made. And I'm weird, man. Like, I've never had many vices. I've never liked to drink that much. Smoking, nothing. I mean, you know, the cigarette here and there, it's not a big deal. And I stopped smoking cigarettes a long time ago. But I've never liked to do that many crazy things. Going out, I was the friend that went out and by 12 a.m., I'd be tired, sleepy, go home. Yeah, it's just very easy for me to focus. Sometimes I do say, you know, you need a day off. Like, hey, you to avoid the burnout, like, do whatever makes you happy. For me, man, a day at the beach or going out to the mall for 3 hours, just walking around, you know, just completely forgetting about everything is what helps me, or reading a good book. But honestly, yeah, for me, it's been very easy to stay focused in that aspect.
That's good. That's good. And that's funny, because that's kind of where I'm, like you said, the beach, the mall, like, shopping for me is very therapeutic, you know, and, but also for me, it's the working out too.
Oh yeah. I didn't mention that. Working out. I have to work out every day.
Yes.
The energy, you're a high performer, I could tell, but in the energy that builds up, it has to come out somewhere in order for you to be able to deal with the rest of the day. I'm emotionally intelligent because I destroy myself physically every single morning, you know, because there is not enough energy for me to even entertain something that angers me or something that makes me anxious. Sometimes I'm human, you know, I get angry or anxious at certain things, but I'm able to see past that. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's huge. Working out. Yeah.
And you have to. So for me, everybody's different on how they do things. There are two things that I will, you know, I don't care what day it is, I will get my workout time in and I will get my prayer time in. And I don't care what else is going on. Everything else has to be put on hold. It doesn't matter. And I think that you have to have some things like that in your life that you're dedicated to do. And you figure out how to make time for them no matter what. Like before this, I was on such a tight schedule today. I still got in 90 minutes of cardio before ours now.
There you go.
A few more appointments and then I'll go to the gym late and I'll do the sauna really late, you know, and all of that. But it doesn't matter because no matter what's going on that day, you're going to figure it out. You have to, if you want something, you have to make the sacrifice for it. And that is it. And if you cannot make the sacrifice for it, then that all that says is you don't really want it.
Exactly. It's the proof you're looking for. If you don't feel like waking up today at 4 a.m. before you have to go to your job at 8 to work on what you really want to do, you don't want it bad enough. You probably shouldn't stay at your job because you haven't found what you like to do or you haven't found something that you could see long term for. You know, there's so many signs that you could see before you actually take the jump. And that's a huge one.
Yes. So I wanted to ask you this. First, when it comes to your working out, how many days a week do you go and what do you tend to kind of have as your like goals in general? Is it more like cardiovascular? Is it more, you know, weight training? Is it an implementation of both? What do you tend to steer towards?
It's both. And I've gone like back and forth with different ones. Like I've been working out for a long time, weightlifting specifically ever since I was in high school. I played football, you know, we did the heavy lifting, the bench presses, all that good stuff. And I've always maintained that consistent cardio. I've hated since I can remember, but recently I started liking it because I realized that I was getting fat and I no longer wanted to be fat. And I've been fat for a long time. And I'm like, I lift so much. Why am I not looking better? You know, it's like if you're going to the gym for 10 years and you look the same, there's a fucking issue. Okay. And the biggest thing that was different with me was that I was not incorporating enough cardio. So I started doing that. Right now I'm doing a mix of both, but about a year ago, exactly a year and maybe a month ago, I started running consistently, started doing a mile, was destroyed, started doing 2, 3, 4. And then I was like, damn, I could do this. This feels great. I got my watch. I got running shoes because I was running in the wrong shoes. And right now, currently I'm doing an hour of working out every single day, five times a week. of weights, and then about 4 to 5 times a week of cardio after the weights. It's minimum 3 miles a day. If I'm going to run, it's minimum 3 miles. I cannot do less than that unless I'm very busy. Like today, I did 2 miles. And then on the weekends, either Saturday or Sunday, I try to do a long run, maybe 7 to 10, maybe even 15 miles if I want to. And for me, it's a meditation because when you run for a long time, it's like getting a tattoo. You kind of, the pain threshold eventually surpasses and you start feeling really good, right? And you start getting that runner's high. And I know you know what I'm talking about with the tattoos because I have one too. There's a point of the tattoo where you start feeling euphoric. You feel that as you run. So your runs could be very long as your condition.
Well, get your stomach tattooed and then tell me how euphoric you feel.
Oh, no. I'm here to hear to hear to hear. Anything else? No, not yet.
So my whole top, all the way around, rib cage, everything is completely covered. This last couple that I just got, I had some really good numbing cream, so I didn't feel much of anything. But I'll tell you right now, there are points where you don't feel anything. I was always worried like here, and that was so easy. But I'm telling you right now, the rib cages and the stomach are
horrible.
You best be ready and prepared because a lot of people will go in and they can't finish them. And I was bound and fucking determined. I said, there is no way in hell I'll ever get something that I won't finish. But those were challenges. Mm-hmm. You know, I did my back in sections and I would go 3 days in a row for 3 hours at a time. And that was brutal, bro. But it does get to a point where you get there, and with the running especially. So I've been running since high school. I'm 42 years old, and I generally do about 8 to 10 miles a day. Now I kind of have to do the elliptical more because I'm so beat up. I do about 15, 16 miles on there and then still run a little bit. But that's like my time. People are always like, how do you do that? How do you do that? But that's the only time I have to watch TV, like that I want to watch, or take time for myself away from everything, you know, and challenging yourself. I don't care how many times you do it, and you know this, you feel like you accomplished something like really big when you're done. And that feeling is everything.
Yeah, I was literally talking about this morning, where there's a study or there's a phenomenon where your brain tends to remember more of the unfinished tasks than the ones that you finish, even if the ones that you finish are exponentially larger in value. It's insane. I mean, the less tasks that you finish that are hard, the less confidence you're going to feel in yourself. And that compounds over time. Same thing goes with positive things, right? I mean, you finish a run, immediately what I tell myself is, you're going to do it again tomorrow, motherfucker. You know, it was hard, but tomorrow you're going to do it again. And that's what keeps me going. It's like celebrating your wins, but not celebrating for too long.
Yeah.
Because when you celebrate them for too long, that's where you fall off and you stop doing the things that got you to that win. And that goes with everything, especially the gym.
And that's when we were talking about the complacency. I always say that when you accomplish something, you look at it, you acknowledge it, but that should only make you hungry for more.
Exactly. And
if it's not, then I question your motivation and I question your killer instinct in terms of, you know, making progress constant, right? So
yeah, it's looking beyond the motivation. It's looking at the discipline.
Yeah.
You know, motivation is fleeting. Discipline sticks forever. That's what's really going to get you to the promised land, right? Being disciplined on what it is that you have to do on a daily basis and understanding that when you get there, you have to maintain it. It's not over, right? You think that you got to a certain point. Now, how do you maintain it? You know, I lost 40 pounds last year thanks to the running. And how do you maintain it? Well, I got to keep running. You know, I can't stop eating how I'm eating. I can't eat like before. I have to keep running. That's it.
One of the things, this goes with health, this goes with business, this goes with everything. There's two factors, discipline and consistency. And
correct.
If you don't have either one of those, you have to have them both. And if you don't have them, you cannot rationalize success. You just can't. I don't see how you can. And that's one of the two things that I stress to people that I have tried my best to implement. And what you were just saying, getting there is the easy part. That's the easy part. The maintenance is where the problem is. Anybody can go, like when you win a title or you win something, okay, you made it, but how do you maintain that now and improve upon that? That's difficult.
Yeah, I mean, look at the best athletes in the world. I don't have a specific name right now, but usually they say, okay, I won the Super Bowl. There's another one next year. I got to keep working. You celebrate for 10 minutes. Let's keep working.
Yeah.
Right. It's having that mindset up to the point that you want. Right. Because it's not either becoming a slave of your own goals either. Right. It's knowing up to what is it exactly that you want to do. Right. If you want to be above average and you want to achieve great things, and it's going to take great action. And that's usually like guys like you and me, man. We just have to keep going.
Oh, the hunger for more, brother.
Yeah.
So I appreciate your time. And I know that you are busy and so am I. And I'm really thankful that we had this time. I want you to tell people, and I'm going to put everything in the description. I'm going to have you give me all of your links that you want me to use, but tell people where they can follow you, how they can get signed up with you. If there's, you know, things that they can subscribe to you to watch, that'll help them in general. So go ahead and let people know where those things are.
My digital business card on Instagram, Sergio Traconis _1_. I have everything you could subscribe to on there. We have something called our KM community where, you know, you'll be connected with us. You'll be in proximity with us, us being myself and my two other partners. And we will help you throughout the road. And, you know, we have tons of written material that we'll be sending you. And all my videos are on Instagram. If you need help with branding, I am very value driven with my content. There's probably a ton of things that I shouldn't be talking about on my content because people should pay for that. But I just want you to get better in any way, shape, or form. And if I can help you through my content, that makes me happy. You know, so.
Definitely. Well, like I said, brother, I appreciate the time. It's always enlightening to me, and it's always a pleasure to speak to somebody like you and to relate and then compare and contrast as well, because I love to learn from other people. And the best way to do that is to listen to others' experiences and compare and contrast. So
having these conversations.
Yes, this is the best. And it also helps everybody else at the same time.
Exactly.
So once again, I really appreciate it. Obviously, you and I will continue to talk, but everybody, Sergio Traconis, make sure that you follow him, check him out, check the description to follow along. That being said, stay tuned for plenty more to come. Dylan Jamelli and Sergio Traconis signing off.
Thank you, man.